Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the busy voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee. Hello, Richard.
Hello, how are we?
Very well, thank you. We'll get straight into it because there's plenty to discuss. We've got things to do, of course, and Amazon Prime, in all their wisdom, decided to schedule games this week. So there's been three sets of games on a Tuesday and Wednesday and a Thursday. Hasn't helped with the production and the scheduling of a podcast at all.
A flurry of games, you might say.
A flurry, yes. Mm. So we're going to get straight into it, and we're going to start, of course, with the major talking point, which occurred on Thursday evening at Bramall Lane. Jonjo Shelvey sauntering towards goal, towards Dean Henderson, after a flag came up, no whistle was blown, it went to VAR, the goal was given, Dean Henderson didn't react. There's so much to discuss on this one.
Yeah, there is, and I think, look, initially, because of the rule changes and the way that it is now, it goes against everything we've learned. That's what I would say. It goes against everything we've learned, in that when you used to see the flag go up, instantly you switch off. You know that that means it is offside, full stop, end of, and you switch off. So it's not necessarily, and I've watched it again, and Dean Henderson's kind of given it some effort, but obviously not a great deal of effort. You can tell it's nowhere near 100%. And again, it goes back to that. What he's learned throughout his whole career, X equals Y. The second the flag goes up, you stop. You start to slow down. Exactly what he's done. Unfortunately, it was costly, not just for him, for the whole team. And I think even Jonjo Shelvey, it was kind of slightly with embarrassment. He knew that he'd gone through, and obviously he became aware in that moment that he had to put it in the net, just in case. But it's funny, because not so long ago, that would have got you a booking. You know, but of course now, because of the fact that the whistle won't go, and they will play, because of VAR being how it is, it has just changed the whole dynamic of the game. And I do feel a bit sorry for Dean Henderson on this one.
Yeah. I completely agree with you, to be honest, on most of the points you've raised. Regarding the booking, I suppose you could say the whistle didn't blow. So if they did bring it back, you couldn't really then say Shelvey would be booked. And we put this out on Twitter and asked people the question as if to say, would he be booked? What would have happened if the play had been brought back? And people did respond and say, well, the whistle didn't go. So he wasn't technically kicking the ball away. But then this is the grey area. This is where it's completely blurred now. We also put it out on Twitter to see what people thought of the incident itself, and we got a fair few responses. I'll read some of them out now. Jane King, she said, everyone stopped, even the Newcastle side. The ref hesitated. I thought he was chasing after the player to book him. Martin Phillips agreed. He said, should have played to the whistle, but look at the replays. The whole team stopped, including both the centre-back that could have chased, so all need to work on playing to the whistle. Demon Spofforth, by the way, great name. Stupid. Play to the whistle. They know the rules and how VAR works. Ian Iggy Whitehouse, same again. Play to the whistle. Every Sunday morning coach will tell you that, let alone a professional football coach. And David Priest as well, who we know is a huge advocate for goalkeeping on Twitter. He said, doesn't matter if it's training or a game, do everything to stop it. Even if he is offside, you can still gain a mental edge and confidence over strikers if you save it, in my opinion. He also did add, to be fair to him, he usually has that attitude. Incidentally, there was a shift towards Dean Henderson and a bit of negativity towards him as well. This was from Steve. Absolutely rubbish. Play to the whistle. Huge moment. Cost his team the game, and not for the first time this season either. Dean Merrick said, a player who thinks far too much of himself, a bit like Jordan Pickford. Carl Kelson responded to that as well and said, lack of focus and an error that probably cost the game. However, with all the potential he has, I hope he overcomes and grows from it.
Yeah, look, I can't disagree with anything that's said. I just can't. I think that it's, I suppose the point is that it's just a shift. That's the point. In that before this season, what he's done is absolutely fine. Before this season, realistically, that isn't costly. They put it in the goal. You get the ironic cheers. The player gets booked because he's played after the flag's gone up, effectively. And ordinarily, the whistle would go. So it's not that. It's more of like a, it's not a conscious thing. That's the point. It's instantly, I probably would have done the same, purely for the fact, not because I'm lazy or I'm not playing to the whistle. It's just that that was always the case. Now, look, I get it. It's a bit of a cliche, of course, play to the whistle. And we all know that. I understand that. And it is, you're absolutely spot on in all the analysis. You're absolutely spot on. My point is that I just think it's something that's intrinsic. You're wired a certain way because of the way you've been brought up, and it's going to take some time. This won't be the only goal that we see like this. That will be my prediction. I think there'll be other goals like this, because it wasn't just Dean Henderson, by the way. And it's easy to point the finger at Dean Henderson. You actually consider the goal as well. Like, he's given it an effort, and in fairness, John Joshelby has put it in the corner, and it was a one-on-one straight down the middle. It wasn't like it was a dreadful error. So I think some of the criticism is a bit harsh. I think some of the criticism as well maybe based on the fact that Dean Henderson presents himself a certain way, which I quite like. It's arrogant, I will say that, and I mean that in a nice way, like the whole soon on top. I think he's incredibly confident. In fact, no, I'll take that back. I won't go arrogant. I'll go, it's incredibly confident. He is incredibly confident. But of course, when you're like that, you will then often get shot down because you have that incredible confidence. People will want to shoot you down. The moment you make an error, obviously he made the one against Liverpool, got a lot of stick. This one, is it an error? Certainly he could have done something slightly differently. Again, he's getting a lot of stick because you kind of live on that knife edge. You're either the hero, which he's been so many times this season. By the way, statistically, he's one of the best goalkeepers in the league right now. So when people are saying not for the first time, I'm not buying that at all, because that's just not true. He's been brilliant this season. But similarly, he has to understand that by being the way he is, he's going to get criticism, because when you're that out there, when you're that confident, you're going to get some criticism when things don't go your way.
And nothing wrong with a bit of arrogance. I don't think either. The greatest players in the world need it.
I'd say Peter Schmeichel, out of everybody that I've seen play, and I'm always careful to use the word because it does have negative connotations. So I will always say incredibly confident, you know, but it's verging on arrogance. And I think you do need it because you need to be so resilient. Look at these comments here. This is effectively when your entire team switched off. Someone's come in one-on-one part against you, a top player, put it in the corner, and you're getting this kind of criticism. So if you don't have thick skin, if you don't have a level of arrogance or a level of confidence, this is the kind of thing that can knock you down. So you do need to have that. And for young goalkeepers listening in, you need to be so resilient. This is a lovely lesson, actually, for a lot of young goalkeepers listening in, that you're getting criticism for this kind of thing. So just imagine when you do make that big mistake. You need to be so strong mentally and understand that with goalkeeping, it comes with highs and lows. Now, in hindsight, I'm sure Dean Henderson will learn from this. I'm sure next time we'll see him put in loads of effort in a similar situation. And he has to learn from this, of course, but it just shows you, even something like this, where I've watched it a few times and it is what it is, I don't think it's a huge error on his part. Yes, he could put in a little bit more effort, yet he's getting this kind of criticism.
There was also one last alternate theory on this, and this was sent in from Steve Dilbert Gravies. He said, "My first thought was he was trying to put off Shelby by making him assume it had been called back for the offside. Similar," he says, "to Barthez for Paolo Di Canio."
Yeah, I was going to say that. I don't think that's the case, but look, it's a fair argument. I don't think it's the case just for the fact that it wasn't just Dean Henderson. Even Jonjo Shelvey, he wasn't 100%, by the way. It wasn't like he's gone through. Ordinarily, he would have taken it round Dean Henderson there. So he's just kind of done it almost a token effort, thinking, well, I've got to do it. You even saw when he turned around and walking back and going back, he was making some hand gestures, almost saying like, well, just in case, you never know. You know, so it was just like both were playing at 50%. It just so happened that Jonjo Shelvey's 50% was better than Dean Henderson's.
Yeah, 100%. And that's where the problem around the whole thing lies, is the fact that Shelvey, I did say saunter, he did. He didn't go with any purpose. However, regardless of what Chris Wilder's saying, by the way, after the game, and he said the game has changed now, it's a different sport to the one that I learned. That's fine, Chris, and I like Chris Wilder, but he's saying that now. He should have been saying this at the start when VAR was implemented, because people said that this was going to happen, right? We said it was going to happen. It's now starting to happen, and everybody's saying, well, the game's ruined, football's gone to the dogs. Yes, it has. However, was Dean Henderson at fault? Should he have just made the save? And
well, going forward, I think this is still one of the first cases we've seen of this. I think that's fair to say. There hasn't been hundreds of these, because I think, look, if we have 10 more of these and goalkeepers haven't learned their lesson, at that point, I might have a slightly different opinion. I think because this was still quite new to me, I'm watching this and I'm like, this is really unusual. So to me, it's still quite new. So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt for this one. If it happens three or four more times, then of course, we're going to be looking at it slightly differently if they're not putting in 100% effort. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt for this one. I think a lot of people will. bearing in mind what he's done this season. And again, I appreciate the comments and understand the frustration, certainly from Sheffield United fans, because they deserve to get something from this game. But I'd just say, appreciate it wasn't just Dean Henderson. It was Jonjo Shelvey. It was the rest of the team, by the way. It wasn't like there was defenders breathing down his neck. Everybody had switched off. So to pin the blame solely on Dean Henderson, I think is incredibly harsh. But they have to learn lessons and learn them quick.
Manchester United 2, Tottenham 1. Jose Mourinho returning to Old Trafford, of course. Marcus Rashford putting United ahead inside the first 10 minutes. Paulo Gazzaniga potentially at fault.
Yeah, he'll be disappointed. And he actually played really well the remainder of the game. Made several great, so lovely save up onto the bar from Marcus Rashford. In Gazzaniga's defence, and this is where we try, you know, you've got the from great save to mistake and seemingly very little in between. In Gazzaniga's defence, it's one of those strikes. Marcus Rashford's got this technique where he strikes it with dip. There's not many players I know that can do it in the way in which he does it. It's a very strange type of strike. And Gazzaniga's positioning was fine. He got down to the ball fine. He gets a full hand on it, which is good. He's just not able to divert it wide of the post. So yes, it is an error. It's one that he'll be disappointed with. You know, I know a lot of people will touch on the fact that it was near post, which, of course, that's always disappointing. For me, that's not the error. The error is the fact that he had everything right. His positioning was good. I think he was covering both near and far effectively. I think, ordinarily, he's getting to the ball wherever it's struck in the goal. And that for me, is an interesting point in that he had his positioning spot on in terms of his depth of the goal, how far he was from the line as well. Everything was spot on. It was just poor execution. He didn't quite read the flight of the ball. He wasn't able to get the ball round the post. It's as simple as that. The technique was fine as well. Getting down to his right, sharp enough. It was just the fact that the final point of execution, and we're talking centimetres, literally, ever so slightly out of position with his hand, and he wasn't able to divert it wide.
Yeah, great save from Mason Greenwood, and like you said, the second one from Marcus Rashford as well. Peter Schmeichel was in the studio for Amazon Prime that evening. Jim Rosenthal, the old school presenter, brilliant, brilliant bloke. I'm surprised they didn't push Schmeichel more on it. It was very quick, a very quick 30 seconds. Schmeichel said, I'm not massively going to blame the goalkeeper there, but they didn't press him. So just classic. We'll move on. They just mentioned the goalkeeper's union. Thank you for the name check. And then just moved on.
Yeah, well, look, and I'm kind of, I'll say pleased at Schmeichel. It's tough because this is where what you'll often find, and obviously a big part of why we do this show every week, is that goalkeepers as pundits naturally will want to protect each other because we've been there and we've had the dreadful punditry. We still get the dreadful punditry week in, week out. So naturally, when a goalkeeper is given the opportunity to actually give or critique a goalkeeper, more often than not, they'll side on the goalkeeper's side, which, by the way, makes the problem worse because then you often get the outfielders, oh, you goalkeepers all stick together. Well, we do because we have to, because actually you lot don't know what you're talking about. So that's why we stick together. And I guess that's the idea behind this show. Actually, we can break it down. And if we're to break it down and be really geeky about this, you look at Gazzaniga's set position, it's fine. You know, in terms of how wide his feet are, in terms of how low he is, everything's fine. And in terms of his position, he's not over-covering the near, which I hate it when I see that with goalkeepers being too safe. He's not doing that, which in the end, had he done that, ironically, he would have saved it. But he's not doing that. Positioning's perfect. Everything's spot on. It is sometimes, it's as simple as that, the execution just wasn't quite there. He got down to his right fine, agility, no problem, power, no problem. It was just that final bit of execution. He's not quite got enough on the ball. And these are the fine margins of being a goalkeeper.
Yeah, indeed they are. Jonathan Pearce, by the way, was on commentary for that game, or at least the feed that I got on Match of the Day afterwards. And I won't have you comment on this one, but the goal from Spurs, great finish, of course, from Dele Alli, great bit of control. But the initial shot from Serge Aurier, which was on the angle and De Gea saved with his feet, and then it ballooned up in the air. Jonathan Pearce, could he have held it? But we'll move swiftly on. The Merseyside Derby, Liverpool 5, Everton 2. Now, ordinarily, I don't think I would have found anything to discuss on this game, but I saw something on whoscored.com. Now, this is the stats site, of course. Very good, very useful tool. They gave Jordan Pickford a 3.7 rating. Now, the next lowest was Tom Davies. He was on 6.1. So let's just think about this for a second. Let's just consider the fact that Jordan Pickford was on 3.7. Yes, he conceded 5 goals, but so did that entire backline for Everton. 3.7. I also saw a little E on his name. Now, that indicates error leading to goal. So I looked at the goals and I thought, right, because from memory, I thought, which one would that have been? And I could only surmise that it was the first goal from Divock Origi. It can't have been any of the others. No. So it must have been that first goal.
And this is where, you know, being assigned an error is subjective. It's not objective with all of these. Like, was it an error? Because, by the way, an incredible ball. Let's look at the actual play. Mane, where he's seen that, I will never know. Absolutely perfect in terms of timing, the weight of the pass, brilliant. Now, if Jordan Pickford has that situation again, for a start, for him to thread it between Pickford, between the defenders, it was just the most sublime ball, and it meant that it was easy to run onto, take it round Pickford and score. Now, in hindsight, does Jordan Pickford stay? Maybe that's it. But of course, when you see the ball played behind the defence, your natural reaction is to take a step forward and to see if you can get there. He's then set realising he can't get there, but at that point, it does make it a little bit easier than it might be to go round the goalkeeper. But the whole execution of the play was absolutely fantastic. I think a lot of goalkeepers do exactly the same as Jordan Pickford does, because I think that you're, as a rule of thumb, the moment you've seen it playing into the box like that behind your back line, you step forward because you think there is a chance you might be able to come and make it a 50-50 and crunch them, or you might get there first. Or even if you don't get there first, you might have that classic one where then you set, they try and go round you, and you're able to dive full stretch and claw it away. Ultimately, it was a fantastic goal. It was brilliantly done. And you're right, the other ones, I don't see any that he could have potentially saved. So to give a goalkeeper a three, and this is where it's just not correct, is that you might let in five goals in a game, not have a chance with any of them. Does that then mean that you get a 3 out of 10? What about when you win a game 4-0 and you don't touch a ball? Do you just instantly get a 7? Like, what? I don't get it. But again, it's who makes these judgments. And look, do I think that Jordan Pickford had a great game? No, I don't. I think that there's one or two things he might have done differently throughout the game. But was he a 3 out of 10? Absolutely not.
Okay, elsewhere, another very good performance from Matty Ryan again at the Emirates for Brighton. They got the win there. We spoke about him a lot in the last show, so no need to go over old ground. But again, Matty Ryan just making good saves for a goalkeeper. Great save from Tom Heaton, by the way, from a Willian free kick. They lost that game, but a great save.
Do you know what? Actually, I want to touch on that because it was footwork, power, execution. Watch that. It's actually the position, because I always say about free kicks, if you get it up, down, over the wall in the top corner, I'll give you the goal. Well, that's exactly what they've done, and he still managed to save it. I think that there's not many goalkeepers make the save. Not necessarily that I'm saying Tom Heaton's the most powerful or the quickest goalkeeper, but that for me was a lesson of perfect positioning, perfect timing, good footwork, getting the spring away at the right time. Absolutely everything he's done there is absolutely perfect. One of the best saves I've seen this season.
Nice. Okay, and Aaron Ramsdale for Bournemouth at Palace.
Interesting one. This has taken a nick, so I'm not going to say it's an error because it's taken a bit of a nick, which has obviously changed the direction of the ball, and in the end it's gone in. It doesn't look great, I would say that, just because it's quite central, and I think his angler dive is ever so slightly back on himself, which he may be able just to change next time out. It might be more so the weight distribution when he's getting set. Again, look, by the way, let's just make the point that him stepping in to the fray this season out of nowhere, effectively, and I saw him a lot last season at Wimbledon, and a lot of Wimbledon fans will agree he was largely the reason they pulled themselves out of trouble back end of the season. Of course, had a little stint at Chesterfield as well before that in League Two, season before that. Look, very, very, very good goalkeeper. Brilliant so far this season. And there's going to be moments like that, and I think he'll look at that and he'll do his debrief on himself, he'll do his analysis on himself. It might just be the weight distribution when he sets, and ideally if he can get the angle of the dive forward, that would be my only slight critiquing that I would do. But it did take a little nick, so not an error.
Richard.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll be back. Look, the games are coming thick and fast, so we'll be back before you know it.
Yes, we will.
On this, the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks, in association with GK Icon, Goalkeepers 365, and Love Sport Radio. We'll see you next time.